going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Welcome on in to Dana and Parks. Woohoo! Happy Monday, everybody. It's more like Dana and Sam and Dan without Scott Parks, who's in Mexico this week.
Mm-hmm.
And we have so many things to talk to you about today. The first clip that you heard is your new Boston Marathon Women's Division winner.
And record holder.
And smashed the record holder. We have some audio as well. When she crosses that finish line, Sam, I just visualize this. She runs into the arms of her mother.
Yes.
And one of the things you hear the commentators say is, do you realize how fast you ran? You smashed the record. And Sam, as the only resident track person on the program, explain to people what Sharon did. First of all, the fact that she's a KU grad, don't even get me started. But how fast did she run? You said a woman has never beaten a man in the Boston Marathon.
That is correct. I don't believe a woman has ever beaten a man in any marathon around the world. She was like 17 minutes or 14 minutes behind the first male finisher. She finished the Boston Marathon 2.5 minutes faster than the previous Boston Marathon record. And I believe I saw a stat that she set the world record by 16 seconds. 2.5 minutes finishing the Boston Marathon ahead of the previous Boston Marathon record holder is insane.
That's a big difference.
It's huge, Dan. At one point, they ask her about it. You know, she's still out of breath. And she goes, I saw the time and I thought, Jesus, that's fast. Her name is Sharon Lacady, and we are thrilled to be welcoming in her University of Kansas track coach in the 5 o'clock hour. And I said, look, Sam is the only resident track and field person on the air, but even if you don't understand track, like you didn't have a kid who ran track, you aren't a competitive runner, I said to her coach, help us understand what it is that she has done today, because it truly, truly is remarkable. That is coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. But we start with Friday night and one of the best live shows I have ever seen. And we posted a photo. Sam was there and I literally just ran into you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You had texted me and said, where are you? And I hadn't even seen it. I saw it after we had run into each other, but it was Saturday night. Did you go Friday too?
Friday was sold out. Pardon me. It was Saturday night. And if you guys remember, we tried really hard to get 49 Winchester on the program last week. And, you know, their manager was like, busy, can't do it. Thanks for all the love. Dan, I did not realize we have sort of found that band right as they are ascending what I would consider to be a meteoric rise. We looked this up today because we were trying to find the set list from Knuckleheads, one of the greatest venues in all of Kansas City. And they leave here and go play with Post Malone, Jelly Roll.
Oh.
And Morgan Wallen. And I said to Sam, those tickets were like 40 bucks, weren't they, Sam, or something?
25 bucks a piece.
We will never see them again for $25.
They're headed to Stagecoach 2025. It kicks off in 4 days in Indio, California. And that is where they're going to be on the big stage with all of the greats that you just listed off. And that show was incredible.
Fire.
Heading up the charts with a bullet.
Yes, Dan, in the rain, and we were right down front, left stage. They all come out drinking Miller Lite, and his voice, I don't know how to describe it. It's as powerful as Chris Stapleton's.
Oh, absolutely.
Wow. But I'm going to play you one shred of Annabelle, which is my favorite song. Listen. Just let me go. It's the yelling. He gets me every time. That's not Annabelle. Sorry. But the reason I play that one clip... You guys, truly, the only reason I went there was Annabelle.
Was that you?
That was her, yes.
Hold it.
I mean, my God. So listen to this, Dan. We are in the back. Because we got there late. We were thinking, oh, you know, we'll be able to work our way up front. Sam, that place was sold out, packed.
I got there pretty early and thought to myself, oh, it's not going to be that bad. And it was crazy.
The balcony, upstairs, downstairs, it was outside. So we get there and we see that the band's coming out. They're kind of setting up. And we're like, okay, you know, should we make our way down? And Jack was like, you know, we got a great seat back here. Maybe we just stay back here. I thought that song was going to be their finale. It's like such a huge hit. I was like, I'm going to wait for Annabelle, and I'll make my... They started with it.
They opened with it, yep.
Have you seen that meme where Forrest Gump just takes off running from his house and the mailbox down the street? Mm-hmm. I dumped my children, dumped my drink, and just ran. I just ran to the front of the stage.
Should have run up there and went, 106.5 The Wolf. 106.5 The Wolf. Talk to me.
Do you know me? I work with 106.5 The Wolf.
It was one heck of a show, and you could really tell that the fans were into it because it was raining for half of it, and it was in the outdoor stage, and they were all just standing there.
I didn't care.
Nobody went
cold
for cover.
Rain.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't care. Anyway, we had
good
to mention that.
Had.
God, it was a blast. It
excellent.
Was such a blast. In the stack today, you guys, we have Boston Marathon winner coach coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. Super pumped for that. We have a local photographer who was just named the winner of the best sports photograph of last year in the world. In the world. We're going to talk about that coming up on Dana and Parks. And then my favorite story of the day, I think. Oh, so if you've ever had toddlers, you know, like Dicey, right? There's a story in the stack about twin three-year-olds, which just right then and there, I would be breathing into a paper bag every day of my life. Twin three-year-olds that have been kicked out of two preschools already. Their parents say the kids, quote, just need a chance. And experts are saying the problem is getting worse.
Oh, most certainly.
And are they little terrors?
Well, I mean, you're not supposed to be an angel when you're two. You're learning the world around you. You're testing boundaries. I can't imagine having two of them in a house at the same time, the same age. But that's what this family is doing. They've been kicked out of two twice. And then I'm curious, does that reputation follow you around?
Does it stay on some sort of permanent record like it did in the public school system back in the day?
How old are these?
They're just turned three, Dan. I'm like, how bad can they be?
If they can keep their street cred going for several years,
right?
I mean, they're just three.
So the family happens to be from, I think it's the Chicago area. And we're going to get into this when we get back. Have you ever had issues with that 2 to 4 year old set, sort of even before kindergarten? Maybe you had a biter. You don't have to use your real name. Thank God we dodged that bullet. I never had a biter. I had a kid get bitten once.
Yeah.
Like, we were all bitten when we were little, Dan. Back then, they didn't care. They shrugged it off, threw a Band-Aid on it, didn't even tell mom.
Rub some dirt on it.
You can't be sending a preschooler that bites today. Like, you will get sent home,
or
right?
Kids that shove, kids that hit.
Oh, we're going to start the show with that. 913-586-7798. You are listening to Dana and Parks. We're back with much more straight ahead.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, draw deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Welcome on in. I want to give out the phone number. It is 913-586-7798. The mom's name is Tunette Powell. And Ms. Powell says, what happened to her and her family was so traumatizing, she launched a family partnership at the Children's Equity Project to, quote, reframe the discussion of major discipline, including removal, in early childhood programs. This was after her twin children were repeatedly kicked out of preschool. I'm going to quote here from Ms. Powell, and then we'll get to the phones. They're already ringing. She says she received the first call from a child care center on an Air Force base in Omaha, Nebraska. That's where she and her husband were stationed at the time. They told her 4-year-old at the time was being suspended. Quote, it felt like I was being punked. She said she was told that her son had been crying while eating breakfast with other children. No one asked why he was upset or if anything was wrong, but because he was crying and his nose was running, he was told he needed to leave the table so he wouldn't spread germs.
What?
The school told her he then threw a chair, so okay, he had to go home. And the little boy, when he came home, said, I pushed a chair. It didn't even fall over, but they made me to get up and I was crying and no one checked on me. The school continued to report behavioral issues. Mom would say, let me see the video cameras. Let me see what you're talking about. They would say, no, you can't see the footage. Other children are in it. And that launched a conversation. Parents around the world are weighing in that their preschoolers have, quote, also been expelled from early childhood.
And if it's a highly coveted preschool, they've got waiting lists.
They don't want to mess with the kid. You. They don't want to mess with the kid with the runny nose, Sam.
Yep.
And by the way, if you have minority children, if you are a minority, the numbers are even worse. 913-586-7798. Is this a thing and why? My God, let's go to Emily in Independence. Hi, Emily.
Hey, how are you?
Hi, good. Welcome on in.
Good, thanks. So I have 3-year-old twin boys. And when I first heard you preview this, I was like, oh my gosh, are they talking about us? And I was like, wait, we haven't been in the news.
No.
Oh, so my boys were born early, and thankfully we're never developmentally delayed or anything, but as they got older, their personality started to come out, and we do have one of our boys is just very much more strong-willed than the other, and he started biting right after he turned a year old, and the first time it happened, I was just beside myself, and the parents were so understanding. They're like, it's a phase, like, it's okay, it happens. And then it just kept happening. And we were released from our babysitter about 2 years later. So then, thankfully, we found somewhere now that they are doing great, but he still struggles from time to time. And I will just say, as a parent of a kid that does struggle, maybe has bigger emotions and does bite, it is one of the most isolating feelings because nobody talks about it. No, you know, they talk about, you know, kids are fussy, you know, they have big emotions, but they don't talk about the part where caregivers of your child start to notice the problem. And that's all you hear is that your kid screamed today, your kid got aggressive today. It is so difficult to deal with. And then, of course, you have this other child, their twin, that does pretty great. And then there's that comparing game. And, you know, like my son, he's very intuitive. He picks up on it and he has said, Mommy, am I bad? And we have to say, honey, you are not bad. We have to work on our choices. Like we just have to talk and speak so much kindness into him.
Emily, that breaks my heart. And then you're wondering when the caregiver's bringing it up, like, how are you handling this? Where it seems to flare up when he is at school. Like, what's going on there?
Yeah. So we noticed, like, when he was at his previous place that it had escalated and got pretty bad. And then when he got to where he's at now, it was a lot of undoing of negative behavior. It was a lot of undoing with talk. We went through parent-child interaction therapy with him, so to teach us how to interact with him and how to build up his self-esteem. And he's doing great now. He still has bad days, but it was a lot of undoing and rebuilding his self-esteem. And at 3 years old, you don't think about having to do that. And like I said, luckily now they do a lot of really positive correction with him. And point out his choices. And he even comes home to us and, you know, we'll sign the incident report and I don't say anything to him right away. He'll on the way home be like, Mommy, this happened today.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad you told me. Let's talk about it. If his brother doesn't rat him out first.
Right. But, Emily, good for you. Good for you. It sounds like you're doing all the right things, truly.
Yeah. But as a parent, it's really hard. And just, I want other parents to know, like, they're not the only ones. Like, this does happen and there should be support. So I'm glad that there's families out there bringing awareness to it and that there's a support. Not only twin parents, but parents that maybe have a kid with that struggles with their behaviors a little bit.
Emily, thank you so much for the call. Yifan's son is the mama and Tyler Louvier is dad. They are the ones with the twins who were kicked out. Quoting here from mom, I was so excited for them to be with kids their own age and make friends. But the memory of their first day in preschool is, quote, ruined. I cannot get myself to look at that first day of school picture without feeling sad with a side of anger. Within a month of that photograph of their first day of school, the pair was informed that their girls were not welcome back at either of the preschool programs where they split the week.
They're girls too.
This is crazy. Girls, and the problem, listen to this. It's not biting. Listening issues.
Oh my gosh.
I mean,
it sounds like these places have some incredibly high standards.
Listen to
some of the stories that I've heard.
In a landmark 2005 study that helped bring public awareness to this problem, there was an update to the data this year. The study was in 2005. They updated the data this year because they discovered that kids in early childhood programs were kicked out three times more often than K through 12. Wow.
Learning how to be human.
Go to Scott in Overland Park. I've just never heard the word expulsion with respect to early childhood. Scott, welcome on in.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you guys?
Good. Go ahead.
So I have twin three-year-olds, both girls. And honestly, I have not experienced like them being hard at daycare. And it may help that their aunt runs the daycare.
Yeah.
But they do have their days where they are, one is independently like in an emotion than the other. It seemed weird that the daycare wouldn't let them see the video with just them being there. I felt like that was weird.
Well, you kind of wonder in that case, Scott, when she's asking, show me, work with me, show me what they're doing. If the school's refusing to show her, are they just not looking for an excuse to kick the family out for whatever reason?
Right. Yeah, it seems like they're giving an excuse. Other than that doesn't seem normal at all. And also, to make my twins a little bit more unique, they have separate birthdays.
Oh, was one of them after midnight, baby? Yeah.
They were born an hour and a half apart.
That's so cool, Scott. Thank you for the call.
He brings up a good point, though, because those video cameras are in there. Some of them have it set up to where they sign a liability waiver and the parents can actually access the cameras all day long while their kids are at school. But the ones that don't have that set up, it's there for insurance purposes in case something happens.
For everyone's benefit.
Review the footage. And if something were to have happened to one of their kids, maybe they were bit or maybe they did get pushed and broke a bone or something, would they have been allowed to see the footage then?
Let's go to Megan in Raytown. Hey, Megan, go ahead.
Hi. I was actually calling because I had a really similar experience to Emily. Her child, my daughter, her issue of preschool, and it keeps the point with the school. One of the things physical.
Megan, you're cutting out. How old is your daughter?
She was 4 at the time.
Okay, now I can hear you.
Okay, I'm sorry about that. I was just saying she had a problem with nap time, and the issues got so bad that she was actually being assaulted at school, like physically, by teachers and the principal. And same issue as these parents. We weren't allowed to see video footage. We had meetings where we were asked, what are you going to do to resolve it? We put her in a therapy program. The school would not cooperate. She was being suspended on almost a weekly basis. And they were also threatening us with her permanent record. Even though in the state at the time, she was going to preschool, she wasn't legally required to be in school. So we had her in a school, but they were threatening her permanent record when she didn't even have to go there. We were trying to do it for her benefit.
And how old is she now?
She's 6 now, and she's in a homeschool program with other kids. And so she goes to a parent's house, and we co-homeschool the kids. And it seems to work a lot better now.
Does she remember any of that, Megan?
Yes. And she still talks about it, too. Like, she will still bring up, Mom, do you remember when X, Y, and Z happened? To the point that the principal even grabbed her by the face one day, like around the jaw, because she wouldn't make eye contact during one of their conversations.
Oh, God, Megan. I am so sorry to hear that. The reason I bring that up is because the kids know. Even at age 2, age 3, they know.
Oh, yeah, they're intuitive.
And severe punishments can lead to long-term learning loss, according to experts. In fact, at least 18 states have since implemented policies to prevent preschools from expelling children without justification or to make it harder to just willy-nilly kick kids out. Expulsions after that decreased. And then COVID hit. And they say now they're seeing expulsion rates go back up.
From the text line, our son was counseled out of an area toddler program for failing to follow directions and not napping during the teacher's, quote, planning period. It was really hard on all of us. He was only 2 at the time. Is it a product of the kids are worse
I
now?
I don't think so.
Or is
I
it
think,
a product of...
I think the caregivers don't want to deal with it, which, if you have a preschool and you've got 15 kids in there and you've got one or two that are demanding your attention... I can't imagine the patience you would have to make that run smoothly. But the harm that is being done when you're expelling the kids at that age could be irreparable. I do believe that.
But are the caregivers getting worse? And I'm not saying it's the caregiver's fault. There are fantastic ones out there. There are ones that have decided this is the journey they want to take on their life to improve the lives of kids all over the city. But we've heard about the shortages and the inability to hire new caregivers. Is that part of the problem?
No. One of the moms says the final time the staff called to say there was an issue, they were told, quote, we don't have the resources to support your kids. These are the twins. Citing disruptions like, quote, running around during circle time. Wait, part of this, it breaks my heart, but part of it is amusing because if you've had a toddler, their whole world is disruption. That's what they do. Have you seen one in a restaurant?
Yeah.
They're like wild animals at
defiance
that age.
Defiance is their first language.
I did it four times.
Yeah.
In fact, over the weekend, we saw the cutest little child at a restaurant. And I said, I always look at the two-year-old or the three-year-old from a safe distance. Like, you could not pay me $1 billion to do it again. I had the four that I wanted, the perfect children. I love them more than anything in this world. But get me to go back in that headspace, I can't do it. At age 51, I can't do it.
Yeah.
913-586-7798. If you are on the caregiver side, and you do not have to give the place where you work, we would prefer that you don't. Have you seen this trend? And during the break, we will look up and see whether Kansas and Missouri is one of the 18 states that is now barring expulsions of toddlers. 913-586-7798. We're back with much more on Dana and Parks straight ahead. So to Sam's point, like, why is this happening? Why are the rates of expulsion exploding in our preschoolers? Quoting here from one longtime early childhood development provider, I think that people have to change their perspective on what early childhood is. It's not daycare, she says. One of my bosses used to say, we don't call this daycare, not even childcare. The day takes care of itself. She says, why is this happening? Simply put, it is easier to expel a preschooler than it is a K-12 student, Sam, because K through 12, legally, you have to be in school.
And they have to be expelled for cause when they're at a state school.
Even in states with legislation, removal from preschool, many of which are privately run, isn't highly formalized. It's just telling parents, we don't think this is the right place for your child. Good luck. Let's go to Christine in Leawood. Hi, Christine. Go ahead.
Hi, Dana. I was a preschool teacher for 15 years, just retired to watch a two-year-old. And in the 15 years I was there working with twos, threes, and pre-K, we never expelled anyone. We worked with the parents in the school district to provide support and access to maybe additional things the child needed.
Talk about, Christine, what if there are violent tendencies? And I don't mean biting, although that could be considered a violent tendency. But does there come a point if it's violent behavior, not just disruptive behavior, but hurting other children, that you have to weigh the rights of the other children in the classroom over the rights of the child that the behavior you're trying to correct?
I never experienced that.
Good.
I never had one-on-one violence with the children.
Thank God.
It just didn't happen.
So in asking who's to blame, is it the teachers, which I would say always no. Is it the system? Is it the children? One of the experts they quote in this article says the most highly predictive factor is the more children per adult in a classroom, the greater likelihood someone's going to get expelled. And I'm glad you never had to do it or you guys didn't do it, Christine, but that probably doesn't surprise you.
No, because there were always two teachers in every classroom, Christine. And if there was a problem, you had eyes on. And, you know, the ratio is 7 to 8 kids to one teacher, which is a lot. But that's what the preschool that I worked at demanded. And perhaps that's why we never, I don't know, expelled anyone.
I'm so glad, Christine, to hear that. Truly, truly, because, it breaks my heart. Like, I can see a very narrow set of circumstances where you try everything and it's just not working out and maybe you need to homeschool for a while. Like, I can see that. But I feel like the damage that is done when you're saying to a child, how they perceive that is, I'm bad.
Yeah, you're not good enough to be here.
I'm bad.
Now, is there also an element of this where, we always talk about discipline in the home and discipline in parenting, that there is no accountability on the parent's side? Where they hit 2, they hit 3 years old, and the parents can say, oh, great, I'm going to go ahead and just send them off to pre-K, and they can figure it out without any, expectation for the parent to work with them at home. We hate to assume that parents are going to do that, but if we're being honest about the situation, there are plenty out there that are like that.
I'll tell you this. The couple that they focus on in the article with the twin three-year-olds that were expelled, they left that situation, took the girls to a psychiatrist, and an occupational therapist, they said, went through several clinical assessments, and the family learned that their daughter's development is, quote, completely typical so far. And she said the two schools that kicked them out pressured us into thinking there was something wrong.
Yeah, because if we're going to go so far as expelling a child from a pre-K, preschool program, it needs to be more than shoving a chair.
Oh,
if
sure.
shoving a chair was going to get you kicked out, I would have been kicked out like 15 times.
The other thing I will say, and I'm curious if any of our listeners went through this, I think I don't know what early childhood teachers are told with respect to like trying to, quote, diagnose a problem in a child. So you are a teacher, you are there to provide the extremely crucial support and education that you do. But I do wonder if there are some teachers that are quick to say, not only are we going to expel, but here's an example. Have you thought about having them tested for ADHD?
Yeah.
Because I will tell you, with one of the kids, we had an early childhood educator tell us that. Have you thought about having him tested for ADHD? And I remember being so angry and protective and defensive of that child, because I thought, well, you're not a doctor. You're not
right.
Like, yes, you are around children all the time, and that is experience that we appreciate. But I do think as a teacher, you have to be really careful throwing terms around like that.
That's also the trend, though, and it has been for years. I mean, I have multiple friends who, starting at a very young age, were given ADHD medication at the request, or not request, but suggestion.
But the suggestion, maybe it's ADHD.
Yeah, and they hit 18 years old. They were no longer, you know, being told to take these pills by their parents, stop taking them, and are still very functioning human beings. Like,
I just remember thinking at the time, it was a classroom that had a handful of very spirited boys, you know, three or four very charismatic boys.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, like, he does not have ADHD. I do. I know what that looks like.
Right.
He is able to focus. He just is a very charismatic person, which anyone who has a charismatic child, you know this, that will serve them so well in life. Now, does it mean they need to quiet down and crisscross applesauce when they're told to? Absolutely. There are times where they need to do that. But I hate the slap a label on that at a very early age. It's so unfair. And especially if you're a first-time parent.
Yeah.
It is critically unfair.
And you don't know how to stand up for yourself. You don't know how to stand up for your children. And as far as you know, you are talking to, quote, the expert, right?
Oh, yeah.
They're the ones coming to you. They deal with 100 kids every year. And you think that they know what is right. And it makes you question, well, maybe I do need to go get them tested. And how can you really tell at 3, 4, 5, 6 years old if some kid has ADHD or not? Fun fact, all 3, 4, 5, and 6-year-olds are pretty spastic. They,
right.
They're pretty all over the place.
Right. 913-586-7798.
You had mentioned states with legal restrictions for expelling kids out of preschool. This is a 2023 report, and it says including, so there could be more than this, but it lists off Arizona, Colorado, Texas, Maryland, and Oregon. I believe California's in there as well.
913-586-7798. We will wrap up this conversation straight ahead with more of your calls. Also, the CDC has upped its reporting on the incidence of autism in the United States. We will talk about that and what that number means. It has jumped. 913-586-7798. You are listening to Dana and Parks. Welcome back to Dana and Parks as we wrap up our conversation about a term I'd never heard, preschool expulsion. I'm educated enough to know, I think most of us are, that you know when you hear it, you know exactly what that means. What I didn't know is that the family that they profiled in this is, of all places, People Magazine. It's a great in-depth article about this. They talked about having to take their twins to an occupational therapist. I thought occupational therapy was when you got in a car wreck and your hand was injured and you had to learn to do movement things before you went back to work.
No, that is not occupational therapy.
I have never heard that this is something that can help children. Let's go to Jennifer in Kansas City. Shows you what I know. Jennifer, hello.
Hello.
So you are a pediatric occupational therapist. What is that? What do you do?
Well, I work primarily in schools, and what occupation comes from what your occupation is in life.
Yeah.
So for kids, it's either, you know, a child, it's play, or like in schools, it's a student. And so what we do is try to help kids who are struggling in different areas become more functional and be able to participate within the classroom setting better. So that could be, it could be anything from like using your hands to having the, like, correct, like sensory processing, be able to take sensory information and process that information and then, you know, interact with your environment.
Jennifer, I'm glad you brought up sensory issues, because one of my children hated loud music, loud noises. We would go out and think this is going to be great. We're going to go to the St. Patrick's Day parade. And the minute all the other children were looking at the horses and the music and smiling and cheering, she would flip out. And so that's going to be a different preschool experience for someone with sensory issues.
Oh, yeah. It can't. And the other thing, when you're talking about that OT evaluated the child and these kids came out like within typical range. Well, I mean, kids can act different, you know, at home in a quieter setting than within a crowded classroom with all those noises. So a lot of the sensory assessments will have like a classroom form and they'll have like a home form. So you might see completely different profile on the kids depending on where they are. So, you know, it can be a lot of different things, but that's just,
do you know why, Jennifer, if you knew why, we'd all be billionaires and this is the $1 million question, but do you at least acknowledge that we did not have this sort of issue or to the extent that we do now when we were all in school in the late 70s and early 80s? There was always one kid like labeled a spaz. That kid's kind of a spaz. But I feel like we did not have we certainly didn't have the autism rates back then.
Well, the kids aren't going outside and playing as much. There's way too much screen time. I've gone to conferences and they've talked about, like, if you had a kid who was diagnosed on the autism spectrum and maybe they didn't allow any screen time for a month, and their ability to interact in their environment was so much better if they stayed off screens.
Wow.
I mean, yeah, so that's huge. I mean, I personally think autism is caused by lots of different things.
Yeah, and Jennifer, I'm going to stop you right there, because if they knew, that's why they're not mascot or motto, but you see it. It's puzzle pieces. You see it on the bumper stickers for autism research.
Yeah.
It's puzzle pieces because it is a gigantic puzzle that no one can quite figure
out. Trying to put the pieces together.
Let's go to Kim in Kansas City, who's been holding the longest. Go ahead, Kim.
Hey, Dana, how are you?
Good. Go ahead.
So my son was diagnosed and parents as teachers would come to the house.
Yeah, I remember that.
So he's real like energetic. We can't get him really set down, but they were awesome. He actually got diagnosed with apraxia, and because his tongue was tied, he couldn't talk.
Oh.
So then he got into early childhood care, and that teacher told me that the next school in kindergarten would not be able to handle him unless he had medication. So I'm like, well, that's that school's problem, not yours. So then I put him in kindergarten, and then that's when I decided to put him, you know, on the medicine. And then I took him off during puberty because I've heard during puberty it causes some stuff. But he has now been left behind, and he's a junior in high school. And he has been swept under the rug.
Kim, I'm so sorry to hear that. And we've heard about these cases where a student is just passed up the grade and passed up the grade, and you keep passing them up to the next grade. I'm sorry to hear that.
And a couple of statistics that you have listed out is the number of children per teacher. And the more children, to fewer teachers, the more likelihood there is to be an incident. From the text line, and I don't know if this is true or what the numbers were, but from the text line, also, they did recently as in last summer, increase the student-to-teacher ratio in child care classrooms.
they bumped it up.
Worse for teachers, worse for the children.
We're going the wrong way.
Yeah.
I mentioned autism rates. This was released in the last couple of days. It has gone from, in 2020, 1 in 36 children to 1 in 31 for the latest year that is available, which is all the way back in 2022. I would not anticipate that those ratios get any better after COVID.
Yeah, they're widening the spectrum. They're redefining what it means, and the numbers are climbing.
913-586-7798. Jamie and Grayson mentioned this on Middays, and the story just broke my heart. I thought there was a law about this, but maybe we are wrong. A family in Kansas is demanding answers after autopsy photos of their teenager somehow ended up online. Isn't there a law against that? We'll talk about it straight ahead on Dana and Parks. Stick with us.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.